Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Monday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are live today from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, happy Monday. How we doing? What's going on?
We're doing all right. I'm watching that goal that the Ducks got. That was past the line. I mean, the skate covered it, but like, I think that's a gimme, right?
It was past the line.
And McDavid, man, he had the game on his stick. Oh, my gosh. Again, looking like everybody else is just in molasses compared to him, but got to lift that puck, man.
They are they're in big trouble. They're down 3-1 in that series.
Wild.
Big trouble.
Can we get some Ducks Sabres?
By the way, congratulations to the LA Kings, who, you know, a lot of fighting over that last playoff spot over the last couple of weeks of the regular season, just to get totally obliterated by the Colorado Avalanche in 4 games.
I mean, so, there is a question. Would the Preds have done better than that?
Couldn't have done much worse.
It's true.
Could not have done much worse, but congratulations to the LA Kings and one and done.
They're the quintessential. Hey, good enough to just get in.
They've
crushed every time.
They've been one and done in the playoffs, I believe, 5 years in a row, maybe 6. But yeah, not going so well on that front. And now Kopitar has retired. So we'll see how that goes for them moving forward. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Happy Monday. Doing just fine, thanks. Nice weekend with the fam. Beautiful weather. Shout out to the Edmondson Elementary kickball game yesterday. Hung out at the park for a little bit. But doing good. Should be a fun week.
Should be. We'll see what happens on that front. It is post-draft. As KDOT on the YouTube chat has pointed out, we are finally post-draft here on the program. We got a lot of stuff to sort through with the NFL draft, which we will do throughout the show today. Take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Corey Curtis from News 2, will be with us at 8 o'clock on the program today. And we'll get his thoughts on what the Titans have done in the 2026 NFL draft. So, Joe, here's where things stand on the Titans front. We talked Friday about the selection of Carnell Tate and Keldrick Faulk in the first round. The Titans moved back up into the latter part of the second round to draft Anthony Hill Jr., the linebacker from Texas. So, thought enough of him to move back up after they had moved up to get Keldrick Faulk. And then from there, they didn't pick again until the early part of the fifth round. So, that's a pretty long wait from the end of the second all the way to the fifth, but took Fernando Carmona, the offensive guard out of Arkansas, Nicholas Singleton taken in the fifth round, the running back out of Penn State, Jackie Marshall, the defensive tackle out of Baylor in the early part of the sixth round, Pat Coogan, the center from Indiana, got a little Indiana Hoosier football now in the building for the Tennessee Titans, and to round things out, Jaron Kanak, the tight end out of Oklahoma, in the seventh round. So that's the Titans draft, where things stand there. You're talking, what is that, 8 picks? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 picks for the Tennessee Titans. So, Joe, overall, as we sit here, as the dust settles from the NFL draft, what do you make of what the Titans have done over the weekend, adding to their football team?
Well, I think overall, and I, of course, now you take it all together, too. You know, you think about it that way a little bit. Like, I think they've really done a good job of addressing the front seven. You know, we'll see how well they've done or how good some of these guys are. But, I mean, they have really made over that front seven to give Jeffrey Simmons, coming off his best year,
Yeah.
You know, one of his best years, maybe his best year, to give him a lot more help, and I think that's exciting. I think the front seven and what it could be is promising. It's very different, and it's there's no question that they decided to hit that hard. I would have liked to have seen them hit corner a little more than not. You know, because corner depth is probably going to be something we talk about this year.
Yeah.
They helped the receiving core a ton. I mean, you know, two guys who, like, very well could be, they're just top two players. It should be, probably. Certainly, the number four pick in the draft needs to be. You know, he needs to be their best receiver this year and then build from there. But they have given Cam Ward some real help there. So I like that a lot. I mean, I think receiving core and front seven, they've certainly, you know, it's going to look different, and I think it's going to look better. And then, you know, the corner depth and again, the interior of the offensive line, did they do enough? Because the two guys they got in the interior, Pat Coogan is one of those. It's a really interesting thing because there are people who love the guy.
Yeah.
And obviously he was a leader. And, of course, it's funny because one of the clips that was circulating this weekend was him, you know, before a game screaming, you know, motherfuckers, you know. But it's funny because it was when he was with Notre Dame playing Indiana.
Yeah.
and then he transfers to Indiana, switches from guard to center. But even for a center, he has short arms. He's the Reuben Bain of centers. And, like, the measurables are not good. That's why he won his – so it's like great – intangibles, but I've heard some people say, oh, that's their starting center. I'm like, well, let's ease up there. I don't know that you should count on that. But at least they did something there. Carmona, there are other people out there that folks thought were better than him. You know, they did, but that happens all the time too. So, I mean, look, I think overall they did some things, I think, effectively, and then I'm still very worried about the interior of the offensive line. And if you didn't address that well, and it's just a bunch of dudes, and you can't find two who can play, then the help you gave Cam Ward is going to be diluted a little bit.
I'm still worried about the interior of the offensive line as well. I mean, I guess I would say at least they drafted people there, so we'll see.
Yeah.
You know, there are two more bodies that they've now added to the mix, so you know, if Carmona ends up being a good guard that you can plug in and play, great. And then maybe, you know, in next year's draft, pretty quickly you're going to have to identify probably some more help on the interior. But they did add two more bodies there, so I guess you feel okay about that if you're a Titans fan. But it's going to be a big question mark heading into the year. You know, clearly it's interesting because the Titans, I think we would all agree, are in a spot from a roster construction standpoint where they still probably need a lot of picks. And they picked eight guys, so it's not like they didn't have any picks. But they did move up to get Keldrick Falk, and they moved up to get Anthony Hill Jr., which, you know, you did have to sacrifice some things in order to do that. So, to me, that puts a lot of pressure on Keldrick Falk and Anthony Hill Jr. to be pretty good for you early. Like, you're talking, number one, Falk's a first-round pick, so you're talking about that needs to come in, and he needs to be impactful. But Anthony Hill Jr., you're moving up for a linebacker. Like, he needs to be a pretty good player for you right off the jump.
Yeah, I do think, like, the idea of moving up once you get into the middle rounds, I'm not against it because, as a lot of people have talked about, the latter part of the draft is it diluted also because of, you know, a lot of guys staying in college and getting that sweet NIL money. So, but no, it's interesting because I saw opinions all over the map. I've seen opinions all over the map on Falk.
Yep.
And as we talked about, like, it's not an opinion. It's a fact that he didn't produce.
Yep.
So that's just what it is. But some people love him. So we'll see. I mean, I saw that TD in some of his analysis, you know, he doesn't expect him to start. And I think that's probably fair early. But, man, you really, to me, you move up to get a guy in the first round. And given, you know, their limitations, you really hope that at some point he claims that spot. Hill, yeah, maybe right away, you know, he starts. And it's interesting with him, too. I like him as a player.
Yep.
I mean, he's
– same.
He can get downhill and, you know, you can
– downhill. See what you did there. Nice job.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Anthony, downhill. But then, like, the coverage – even, like, the coverage, like, it's funny because different analysts, you know, have different thoughts on his coverage skills even, you know. And it's like you can find examples of him doing some good things, but then overall the metrics don't exactly speak that well of it. And I do think that's an important thing at linebacker for them to have they've got to be better there. But yeah, I think he could be a starter, absolutely. So and that's what you want. And you know, when you just look at all of it, even the D tackle they got, I think that's a decent value where they got him and just another body in there. Like, they've definitely attacked that area.
The Singleton pick is interesting to me at running back because a lot of people, there's interesting thoughts on him. Like, I saw people writing about this after they drafted him, Joe, that's like, hey, I mean, he could come in there and by the end of the year, he could be running back one for the Titans. It's like, well, maybe. He's interesting to me from the standpoint of, like, his junior year at Penn State, he had almost 1,100 yards. He had 6'4 a carry. He scored 12 touchdowns. Now, last year, we know Penn State last year was a disaster, particularly compared to what people thought they were going to be in the preseason. Like, last year was supposed to be Penn State's year, and then they sucked, quite frankly. So, there is that.
True.
But, you know, 12 games last year, 549 yards. He went from 6'4 a carry in 2024 to 4'5 a carry last year. That's a dramatic drop off.
And lost his starting job.
Lost his starting job. So, what to make of all that? You know, he's at least intriguing to me, but there's a pretty dramatic drop in production from 1 year to the next from Singleton.
He's fascinating. He's kind of the Rashawn Evans of running backs, which is like, again, when Rashawn Evans, it was very simple, like, there it is, go get it. It's like, holy crap, the speed and the explosive. Like, Singleton gets a seam, he's gone. Yeah. I mean, like, he will make some, you know, he'll make some plays where it's like, my goodness, but he's not, you know, how much can you coach patience, setting up blocks, instinctiveness, all that stuff? How much can that be coached? If it can be coached and you can figure that out, that might be a hell of a pick. And I wrote this, the athletic, like, it is possible, like, next year their running back room is him and a player TBD. It is possible.
Yeah.
It's also possible, you know, people are like already like giving him Tajay Spears' job, and he is a good pass catcher, but I don't know that that's even the case. I mean, the range of possibilities with him is wide.
What's interesting is, like, I guess I'm trying to find his actual combine time, which I think was 4.42, but I'll double check that. But apparently, this is a court, like, Feldman put this out there, a bunch of people, in 2024, like the winter of 2024, so last offseason, he ran a 4.35. So
at that size?
At that size.
He is stunning. And, you know, he was like, I think the number one running back recruit coming out. Like, he is a stunning talent, like, when he gets any space.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just, I'll say that is going to be, I think, one of the most interesting stories. And look, man, go back to 2018. You know, I know some people want to just, like, think, you know, Vrabel and, oh, sorry, I brought up Vrabel. Good God. Let's not even get into that today. Vrabel and LaFleur were idiots in 2018 because, you know, one person in particular hit that hard. But the reality is, it really is true. Like, he did not have a feel yet. Like that wide zone running stuff. Like, they had to work with him a lot on kind of finding that cutback lane and all that stuff. And then it finally clicked for him. And he went from this dude that occasionally would make a big run, you're like, geez, to like, oh, now he's actually, like, got it all together. And, oh, now he's
best running back one of the best.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's your hope for someone like Singleton, that, you know, you can find stuff that clicks for him and he can, you know, because, you know, that's a huge part of being a running back. It's not just being fast and big.
So the Titans draft class is set. We will take your reaction to what the Titans did over the weekend in the 2026 NFL draft. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. The Titans draft is in the books. We'll take your thoughts on the 2026 draft class for the Tennessee Titans at 615-737-1025. Stephen from Clarksville says, the Titans draft, highly questionable and underwhelming. It's very much a let's hope they're as good as the guys they should have drafted draft, is what Stephen from Clarksville says.
Isn't every draft that, kind of? To some
degree,
extent.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
So
to some degree.
I'm trying to go through various experts. So Sporting News,
yeah.
I saw, gave the Titans an A-plus
yeah.
for their draft.
It's pretty good.
I don't know who that is with Sporting News, but Sporting News gave an A-plus. Mel Kiper had the Titans among his worst three drafts. Those are the three drafts that he liked the least.
Is that because they passed on Shador last
along,
year?
Yeah, maybe. Along with the Jags and 49ers.
Hey, Gladstone's proud of his draft.
At some point, we're going to get into the Jags, who now I'm going through our guy, Dane Brugler. Number 32, Jacksonville Jaguars. Like, the reaches for them. I mean, people are going nuts about the Borkircher dude
yeah.
at 56.
And we want him to be nothing more than him.
So people are down. A lot of people are down in the Rams draft too. I think a lot of it because of. So by the way, I know we're on Titans right now, but then there's so much going on. We'll get to all of it eventually. But so do you buy after watching the press and everything, and then all the like damage control? Do you think that McVay actually was mad about Ty Simpson?
He was mad about something that night.
He was mad about something.
I don't know if it was specifically Ty Simpson, but he was clearly upset about something. Now he did the next day come in there and was. Hey, you know, do I look mad right now? And then kind of joked about it.
Right.
But, yeah, that first night, he was mad about something. I don't know what it was.
And then the whole, like, you know, let's make history. He's like, yeah, nah.
Yeah, okay, well, you just get off phone, go hang out
okay.
with your parents.
See right. you later. All right, bye-bye. Dane Brugler has the Titans 12th.
Okay.
So that's pretty good. 12th in the NFL with his favorite pick of Tate. And the day three pick who could surprise as Carmona.
Okay.
So, I think the Coogan thing, I think people need to keep their expectations. You know, he's obviously he just won it all. He was the MVP of the Rose Bowl, which is amazing that a center. Got MVP
yeah.
of the Rose Bowl. And he's a great, you know, big, tough kind of leader. Like, there are limitations with him that you got to just, we'll see. You know, like, but. Yeah, I mean, Carmona, you'd love to see a guy, and that's about where you thought maybe they'd hit the interior of the offensive line, maybe a little higher. But like you said, they moved out of some stuff. If you could get yourself a starter in the fifth round at 142.
Be pretty good.
That'd be pretty good.
Ed talking about, you know, Cushenberry and Zeitler not setting the bar all that high a year ago and, you know, getting some of the concern, but people are acting like we need to replace – two all pros. I'm not worried about replace. Like, I would largely agree. Like, Cushenberry and Zeitler for the majority. Well, maybe majority is not fair. A significant portion of the year last year, it was like, that's not going so well. And I do think like Zeitler got better as the year went on, and you know all those things. But I would agree. Like, it's not like they're replacing two fantastic players at center and right guard. But my question is, like, do they have anybody right now that's a starting level player at center or right guard?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I don't need them to be all pros. I need them to find some people who can start and not get absolutely destroyed out there.
Exactly. You just don't want there to be this glaring weak link. I mean, yeah, they're not replacing. They didn't have great players there. We could all agree. You just don't want there to be a glaring hole. And the thing is, you know, those spots are next to each other. So that's a big gaping hole if you don't find two people who can play. Ed said, just because we don't like the names doesn't mean they can't. We know nothing about Schlotman, and yet we already dismiss that he's awful. I'm not dismissing that he's awful, but
he's made 18 starts since 2019. Like, he started four games last year.
Yeah, the history to now says he's a fringe starter at best.
Right.
Maybe he comes in here and he's awesome. Believe me, the Titans are due some stories like that. But I just would like a little more certainty there. And that's just... Like, we're already on the right side, hoping, right? Everybody's hoping that that J.C. Latham can take that step and take the step next year that Skoronski did last year. You got Dan Moore on the left. I mean, like, the offensive line got better last year, but now, again, you have those two spots that are not sure. You're still not sure about right tackle. You think it should at least be decent. At left tackle, I mean, okay. It's all right. Mandor, no challengers to him through this offseason. He's
a left tackle.
He is, right. Yep. Just there you go. So, like
– those hinges are ready to go.
That's right. Oil them up and here we go. Like, you can see where the offensive line could still be a problem. It's very – you can spin it either way you want. I have concern. I have concern about the offensive line. And it's just, you just don't want that to disrupt some of the other things you're doing to help Cam work.
Well, and I've thought about this more over the weekend. I do like where they're at with their receiving core right now. Now, yeah. I am kind of factoring in that Tate is, you know, maybe not from the jump a top 20 receiver in the league, but Tate in his rookie year shows you that, okay, you've got something to work with here moving forward. So if that's the case, then I like where their receiving core is. Now, you've got, I think, what I would dub their starting trio right now if they go three wide would be Tate, Ridley, and Robinson.
Yep.
What is Calvin Ridley next year? I have no idea. Like, he's coming off the injury. You know, what is he going to be, 32? So what does that look like? I think we know what Robinson is. Robinson has experience in this offense. He's caught 90-plus balls each of the last 2 years. I think we know what he is. But I think the addition of Tate kind of sets the receiver room where it's supposed to be in terms of how you slot him. And then we'll see how good Tate is, right? Like, that's going to be a big storyline, obviously, all year. But it would be a shame if some of that gets undone by yet another season of subpar offensive line play.
Right. Yeah, you just it's a concern. I mean, to me, the offensive line play and the corner depth would be the interior offensive line, corner depth. Those are the two areas that you still have concern about. The good thing, if you want to look at the good thing on the offensive line, is at least they do have, I mean, they have bodies. They have potential competition. You hope that helps and all that. So Singleton, you said Singleton's combine.
Well, I was trying to. So there's a Singleton. There's a 4.42 associated with him that I assume was from the combine. It was not from the combine.
I didn't see anything on the
he's
NFL
hurt.
Draft combine.
Broke the fifth metatarsal or whatever.
So apparently the 4.42 is from another time that he did, and 4.35 is from last offseason. Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really good speed for his size. You know, whether it's a 4.35 or a 4.4, the question is, can you get him some space?
Yeah.
To use that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More your reaction to the Titans draft class. Plus, the major moves have now all happened. We've gotten through the big portion of free agency. We've gotten through the NFL draft. There could be some moves here or there that still come. But largely, this is going to be what your football team is heading into next year. What do we think about it? How much better should the Titans be? How are we feeling about what the Titans have done this offseason? We'll get your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. It is Reaction Monday, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. So the offseason, the major moves in the offseason, we believe are done, right? You've gotten through the big portion of NFL free agency. The NFL draft is now done. So there could be some moves that happen here and there, like Titans may go sign, you know, who knows, maybe Kevin Zeitler ends up back in the building, or maybe they make some sort of trade between now and training camp. But for the most part, you feel like your roster is pretty much what it's going to be heading into training camp and into next season, which, by the way, still includes Will Levis. He's still here. So,
yeah, how about that? No Levis trade.
Yeah, he's still out there. It's a deep quarterback room they got right now.
Levis?
Ward, Trubisky, Levis, and Hooker.
I think I like the possibilities are in some of these preseason games.
Yeah. Could be a lot of stuff that goes on out there.
And you can just – Cam, have a seat. Mitch to Hendon to Will or whatever combination. My goodness.
Yeah. So you got all those things that are still possible. But for the most part, the roster is what it is. So what do you make about what the Titans have done this offseason? How much better should they be? What are we looking at here when it comes to the 2026 Tennessee Titans? We'll take your thoughts on that. My quick answer is this. I think from a defensive standpoint, with the additions that they've made both from a personnel standpoint and also the coach, I'm expecting a huge difference defensively. And it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to be, you know, some top five defense, because I agree with you. Like, I think they're relatively thin at cornerback. I still don't know if they've got the right answers at edge rusher. We'll see what Keldrick Fault comes in and does. And, you know, I think with what they've done this offseason, it's still going to be pretty important that Femi Oladejo takes a big step forward. And if he doesn't, they're just not going to have enough depth there. So we'll see what happens on that front. So there are still holes on the defensive side of the ball. But I agree with you. I think the front seven, they have changed a lot, and I think a lot for the better. So I think you've gone from a defense that was pretty bad, other than Jeffrey Simmons, to a defense that should be the strength of the football team and that is good. Now, are they great? I don't know. I still think they're probably another pass rusher or two away from that, and probably another corner away from that. But I feel good about where they are on the defensive side of the ball through one offseason. I think a lot of this answer on the offensive side of the ball is going to come down to how good's Carnell Tate from the gate, right? Like, if he's pretty good, like if he's worthy of a number four selection, and you look pretty quickly into the season next year and he is the primary playmaker in your wide receiver room, then I think you got a chance to be a lot better on the offensive side of the ball. If he's not, and he's, you know, okay, but it's kind of a slow, gradual build with him, which, by the way, is possible for a rookie wide receiver coming in, then I still look at their weapons right now, and I'm like, yeah, Tony Pollard, we'll see what that looks like. We've talked about the offensive line. We don't need to go back into that. I still think if Tate is slow out of the gate, it could be limited what they can do on the offensive side of the ball. So I feel way better about what they did defensively this offseason than what they did offensively. But I think they've done enough as an overall football team. When you combine personnel, hopefully a coaching staff that isn't full of total dopes out there, which they had the last couple of years. I mean, we should be talking, Joe, about getting into 7, 8, 9 win territory. It's not that hard to do that in the NFL, going from 3 wins to 7, 8, or 9. Like, it's really not asking that much.
Right. No, for sure. No, this team has enough talent. But again, it's like enough talent and then a lot of questions. So can 60% of them, 70% of them go the Titans' way? Even 50-50, you know, like that's with their schedule? Absolutely. You should be able to get to 7, 8, 9 wins, something like that, right in that range. I think every offseason, every team – you go through a free – even teams that don't do a ton in free agency, like every team looks better than they did, right? Unless they had like the only – I think that's been true of the Titans every offseason. We probably said this on this day every year. Like, yeah, they're better. They added A, B, C, and D. The one exception would be like that, you know, the offseason where they traded A.J. Brown. That would be one where you're like, no, they can't – hard to say they're better. But this Treylon Burks, he looks pretty exciting. Sorry to bring up another first-round receiver. It is time for that to end. They look better, and I agree. You know, the front seven, it's like, you know, you got Jermaine Johnson. Like, is he going to take that big step now the year after he came off the Achilles? You know, I mean, Martin's solid. One of these two young guys has to – pop, and if both of them do well, okay, now you have Hill in there. You've really, I mean, I definitely think Franklin Myers, I mean, that's probably the most guarantee impact add with him and Simmons. That's gonna be interesting. So the front seven without question, and I think so. Now corner depth is a concern, but if you do stay healthy, that secondary is gonna look better. It is, though, like you said, like, is there anyone off the edge who's really going to really cause problems for people? Well, we don't know that yet.
And then as this texter brings up, and, you know, I was going to get to this, but you know, it says the Titans' successes and failures depends on if Ward turns into what the Titans drafted him to be. I mean, that's a huge part of this.
That would be important.
Does Ward, in year two, under what we assume is better coaching, with Brian Daboll leading the charge offensively, turn into what you drafted him to be, and that is the number one overall pick that elevates some of this stuff that we're talking about? So, I mean, that's a big part of this, and if he doesn't, that's really disappointing. Like, that's got to be a big part of this story. If you set it a win total, an over-under win total right now for the Titans, what would it be? Because I have the answer from Las Vegas.
From Vegas? Well, my guess is the Vegas win total is 5.5. I might set it at 6.5. Nah, I'd probably set it at 5.5. I agree with you. They should. Come on, it's time to get into the 7, 8, 9 win and be relevant when December hits territory. Like, that should. You should never be more than a year away from that in this league, really. But I'm going to say 5.5.
6.5 is where they got it.
Okay.
Yep. 6.5.
Well, that's. Weren't they? Was last year?
Like four and a half?
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Vegas thinks they're two games better, I guess.
Yes.
Text says, if the O-line still sucks, that'll affect everything. You can have the best receivers and running backs. Your quarterback doesn't have any time to throw. There's no gas for your running backs. It will continue to be a dismal year. Can they find more alignment? Yeah, like you said, there's some older guys out there, Zeitler's out there. This is to you, thing that you've talked about, which is the take away the excuses from Cam Ward thing, and you just hope it doesn't get to the point where it's such a problem that everything just gets blown up. There are a lot of names, a lot of new faces and names there, and we'll find out. You know, we'll find out if they can find five. And if Latham takes a jump, I mean, Dan Moore is kind of what he is, right? We know what that's going to be. But I also, like the left side with him and Scaracci, fine.
Yeah.
Fine. You really hope that the line allows Cam Ward to take the step that he definitely needs to take.
Let's head back to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jared in Spring Hill to the program. Jared, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Well, I'm still positive, fellas. It's kind of crazy that there really wasn't a lot of Titans trauma this year. It didn't feel like in the draft, so I'm very thankful. To your point, Joe, about the offensive line, I am pretty stressed as well with it because, I mean, ultimately that is important aspect of any team. And you saw a bunch of teams this year with first-year head coaches. I was just kind of paying attention to it. They went offensive line, defensive line, like round one, round two, like Baltimore, New York, like some of those guys with first-year head coaches. So I thought that was kind of unique as well. But I do like them drafting those linemen late. I mean, I like the fact they did athletic premium guys at the beginning of the rounds, and then we're going to try to find some dudes later on to fill some roles. And I like a couple of linemen we got. I mean, they're 6'5", over 300. I mean, you know, these guys feel like they're about to come into the league and at least they'll be able to hold their own. They went young early and then they kind of went older late in some of those, like, trench, gritty positions. So maybe that'll give them a little bit of a leg up. I mean, there are at least some premium players that they got out of Arkansas and then the national championship guy we got from Indiana. I mean, it's just kind of hard to, for me anyways, to look at it on paper and do the paper scouting thing. Be like, look, this 6'5", 313. I think he's, you know, out barring anything crazy, it feels like he's going to contribute. It's better than taking, like, Aaron Brewer and having to start him and maybe this Slater kid and some of the other ones who's, like, you know, small state schools. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I at least like that later on. But, hey, appreciate it, fellas. Have a great day.
Thank you, Jared. Appreciate the call. We'll take more of your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number. The majority of the moves that the Titans are going to make in the offseason have been made. What do you make of the team? What do you make of the moves? How good should this football team be next year in your mind? We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans. Our football offseason coverage brought to you by Tennessee Brew Works. Raise a glass with Tennessee Brew Works, proud partner and official craft beer of football offseason coverage here on ESPN 1025 the game. How good should this football team be? We've seen what they've done in free agency. We've seen now what they've done in the NFL draft. You got a second-year quarterback coming up. You got a brand-new coaching staff. What are we feeling about how good this Titans team should be next year? Cam says, Titans have improved, no doubt. 7-10 wins is achievable. There is still help out there as well. Zeitler would give the offensive line room the vet that it needs as a floor next to the right guard position. Joey Bosa could give you a third-down pass rush we desperately need. Got $63 million in cap space. You don't have to spend it, but it's nice to have it. It's from Cam on the text line. They do still have a lot of cap space.
Yeah, I would not expect Joey Bosa in here. Zeitler, though, could definitely happen. As Herb at Kentucky points out, preseason prediction, win predictions, often saw on the Niners the year. Command, yeah, every year. Every year there's the year the Texans blew up when Stroud was a rookie. Then the Commanders blew up when Jaden Daniels was a rookie. That happens. We talked about that last year with Cam Ward, by the way.
We did.
A possibility. Didn't happen.
Did not happen.
But certainly. The Titans, if you told me right now the Titans went 10-7 next year, I would definitely not predict that. But, I'm not floored.
Well,
again, people like
the Colts last year were the best team in the league for the first half of the year, and no one thought they were going to do a darn thing.
Well, you know, 10-7. I mean, but again, like there are also people out there acting like, you know, them getting to 8-9. It's like, well, 8-9. How could they possibly do that? It's like it's the National Football League, man. Like yeah. This is you really shouldn't be this bad for this long. Like no. It takes, you know, a it series of things to happen for you to be as bad as they've been for this long. Like this league is designed for you to basically drift toward the middle here. So, like, they should, if they're not looking at 7 or 8 wins next year, that's a problem to me, Joe. And it doesn't mean you gotta go like fire Robert Saleh or anything or fire Borgonzi, but it would be very disappointing to me if there's not significant improvement getting to 6 or 7 wins next year. Like, if they don't get to that, that's a problem next season.
Yeah. In this league, you know, best team and worst team, like on a given day, that can happen, you know. So you're going to be in a bunch of close games. I mean, last year, how many games could they have won? How many games were like one? You know, they could have won certainly 4 more games, right? Yeah. I mean, they're right there for that, even as bad as they were. So they're just not that big of a difference between teams in this league. And I do think that. Like, Ed thinks they might have a top 10 defense. I think that might be a little bit optimistic. But if things break their way with a couple of these guys in the front 7, which I think already looks like it's going to be quite a bit better, and then, you know, like, again, I think staying healthy at corner is going to be a big thing this year. And that's unfortunately because it's something that they, like, every year they don't do. Yeah. And then they end up with guys who they just pick up off practice squads and. And they're kind of in that position again, but also maybe you're due for a good luck year in that way after a lot of injuries at that position.
Yeah, I mean, how good's Flott? How good's Taylor going to be with this team? Right. There's a lot that goes into that. Matthew from Jolton says, I'd be content with 5 to 7 wins. If they win closer to 5, it'll make going after Jeremiah Smith way easier.
Oh, boy.
Let me tell you what we're not going to do here on this program.
Talk about next year's draft.
We're not going to wait for the next year to talk about the draft. We're just not going to do it.
God.
Frankly,
yeah.
To be honest with you, I hope the Titans are not in position to draft Jeremiah Smith next year. That would be great. That would mean that your quarterback is probably taking some significant steps forward. By the way, they did just draft a receiver at number 4 overall. So, frankly, I don't know that I want them drafting a receiver at number 5 overall, what it would be next year. I mean, if he's there and you could do it, great. But let's win some games. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. Matthew also said they could have had Jermaine McCoy. Yeah.
So good everybody.
Every team could have had him several times. I can't. I mean, good, you know, obviously hope it works out for him, and that means it works out for the Raiders, and they end up getting a tremendous value, but I can't blame Borgonzi or any other GM that was scared away by that. That sounds pretty rough. By the way, Charles and his guys took a lot of crap. Not Charles, per
se. The guys with him did, though. Yeah, I saw that.
Fitzy's, I could tell in the moment, like, Fitz was immediately like, guy, like, they just, for people who don't know what I'm talking about, Charles gave the total lowdown on, like, McCoy's injury, and it does not sound good, man. It's like, you know, whatever, the bone plug thing in the other knee and all that stuff. And
bottom line is, basically, he could need another surgery that would keep him out for another year.
Right. He might have to miss this year, so. But then, you know, it was like laughter of like, oh, my God. But it was – people got really mad about
it. They did.
We'll have to ask Charles about that Thursday. Yeah. It's probably his fault.
But, yes, they could have had Jermaine McCoy there. Yeah, like the people keep coming back to the offensive line. I get it. We'll see what that looks like and how much of a problem that is going to be. Hopefully it's a – like – I'd be very surprised if the offensive line is the strength of the team, right? Like, I mean, it's the strength of the offense. What I need it to be at this point is, you know, as you pointed out, Dan Moore is what he is, which is a serviceable left tackle who, you know, that when you're going up against some of the elite edge rushers, it's going to be a problem. Like, he's going to be out there on an island, and there are probably going to be 3-4 snaps a game where it goes really poorly. And if you're Cam Moore, you either got to find a way to get rid of the ball or just prepare yourself that you're going to get absolutely crushed on 3 or 4 plays in those games. So you know that heading into it. I feel good about Skoronski. I need the center-right guard combo, whatever it is. Serviceable is what I'm asking for. I'm not asking for great. Be serviceable out there. And I am asking for great from the right tackle. Like, it's time to see great
from the right tackle. And if you don't see that this year, you know, I said this last year, but I guess I'll move it back to another year. If you don't see that this next year, that's a big problem from J.C. Latham.
Yeah, and I'm not optimistic about great. Good to very good, is that possible? I mean, again, that never two different things. Justifying where he got picked, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to at some point look back and say, oh, they were right where they took him. But can he be a good player for you? Fine. You overdrafted him to be a left tackle and switch him, and that's at a spot where he has to be great. Okay, can he be a good right tackle? Fine, then at least you can function as a football team.
He may need to be great, depending on what the center right guard combo looks like this year.
Can he play? People talking about him going inside the guard. How about both? Can you play tackle and guard at the same time?
Wow,
that would be great.
He's playing two positions out there. It's amazing.
Yeah, put another receiver out there. Revolutionize football. 4-man offensive line.
You think Levis can be a guard? Can have him on the roster.
A lot of people talk about Levis being a linebacker. If they hadn't drafted Hill, then we might have been talking about a position switch with him. That was the plan all along.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More your thoughts on the Titans. How good is this football team going to be? How much better have they gotten this offseason? We'll continue that discussion. We will get into Diego Pavia and Joey Aguilar going undrafted in the next hour as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The world's biggest soccer tournament has arrived, and you can trade the entire tournament on Kalshi. Spain is currently trading at over 17% to win it all, meaning a $100 trade pays out over $530 if they win soccer's biggest prize. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code JUMP to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.